Hi, Chris.
Hi, Adam.
What's the haps, baby girl?
Man.
You are tired, and you had booze.
A little bit.
Yeah. So
we're at the track event that no one speaks of.
The event that shall not be named, West Michigan Honda Meet. But been a really fun day.
First rule about Honda Meet is there is
we
no
talk
Honda
about
meet.
It on slip. Somebody's got to talk about it. It's been it was a good day. You helped work grid tech inspection. Appreciate your help, man. The pit bikes they swarm. It happens. We're watching Formula Drift on a projector right now. I should text Jared and see what Jared's doing. If I text Jared DeAnda, he shouts me out on the broadcast.
Ooh, fancy. Ooh, that.
Fancy.
We
worked grid. We hung out. Chris, what's your podcast? Drivers at Large?
Drivers at Large.
Yeah, I was just on it last week. Super fun.
Interesting cars, interesting people, interesting stories.
Yeah. You go to enough events where you meet weird people and you talk about things.
I'm trying to change up what I want to do now because I've come to so many of your guys' track events, and I feel like I'm just stomping on your podcast and Abe's kind of turf.
Doesn't matter because ours is garbage anyway, so add to it.
Slip Angle and not Slip Angle. I'm sorry, Track Walking Podcast.
Yep. But Scott and Seth do a good job with that.
I think they do a phenomenal job. But yeah, if I could get away with doing anything, is I really want to go to a depth of like Anthony Bourdain and go to like places yeah, unknown in the automotive world.
Track events unknown. You could sample the strange rubber that is used in California, right? You know, all the different the tastes, the smells. You can take a podcast wherever you want. As long as you have fun talking, it doesn't even matter what you're talking about, I think.
It's supposed to be like I think the interesting stories and right, tales of people that we meet. Because right, you're one of them. You so many of your stories we found interesting.
There are some stupid fun stories though.
I went to Coda in Papa John's old plane that is now
his ex-wife's private jet.
Yeah, his ex-wife. Like what? What are you talking about?
I got lucky on that one. I had nothing to do with that. I was just invited by cool friends who actually were invited by somebody else. So that was fun. But I love this event. This has been a pretty solid event. My car's been okay. I got to redesign my catch can a little bit, but I had a lot of fun playing with today. Got some decent times out of it. I'm playing with the brake bias now, which I haven't done before. Getting it to stop pretty well, so I'm feeling good about that. But weather was beautiful today.
Like, it was my first Honda meet, and I feel like this is like the perfect weather that we
it's never
have.
Like this.
It's always usually terrible. Like really hot. Like we
it's just
we
have like every other event, it's terrible. Tomorrow will probably be wet, but temperature was on point today. I appreciate your help. And speaking of weird stories, at kickoff, you had like texted me something about this thing, but at kickoff I saw it and I was like, no effing way, this is real. So. Yeah. We have a whiskey decanter in front of us. What is this?
So about a week prior to spring kickoff, I went randomly searching on Facebook for another decanter that I'm looking for. And what a decanter is basically like it's a porcelain or plastic looking kind
container
of structure.
Yeah, right.
It's basically some type of sculpture or whatnot.
Right.
And it's hidden is alcohol.
Right.
And for
it's what you put booze in.
Yeah, Jim Beam in the 70s was notorious for doing this with vases and you name it.
Okay.
And they made everything. For the one that...
Oh, man, the screen just tipped over.
Live coverage behind me, the live stream that we were just watching while recording this
scared
podcast.
Scared me a little bit.
Just try to kill me.
Yeah, it missed you. Missed you by a few feet.
I'd sue, but you guys don't make a lot of money.
Can't get blood from a turnip, that's what I say. We should probably tie that to the number 2 power pole back there. Or just pick it up and falls over.
What the suspense?
What we're in top 16 finals, pro round 4. Lake Erie Speedway. Where's Lake Erie Speedway? Dave, where is this? Erie, Pennsylvania. Okay, I was just there the other day. I drove right past Lake Erie. Cool. I'm just watching.
Well,
I should stop
to avoid
that.
Silence. So what I bought was basically is a decanter, and they made these in the 70s and some parts of the 80s. And
the Beams Olsenite Eagle, if anybody wants to Google that.
They made a couple different race car ones, and
Jim
Beam. It's Bobby Unser Racing, and it's Jim, the Olsenite Eagle. And this... Needless to say, like over the years, these didn't survive, and you'll find them in really crappy condition.
It looks like an RC car.
Yeah, it looks like a scale model a teenager made.
It's so silly, dude.
They glued all the parts on and put all the stickers on and stuff, but what you'll do is you basically, like, unlatch, like, these little tabs on the side, and it breaks in half, and the body of the actual car is porcelain, and it's filled with...
Old Jim Beam.
Yeah, old Jim Beam. To be more specific, it is Jim Beam's 100-month aged straight...
Literally like a bottle
Kentucky
label right
straight bourbon whiskey.
How did you find out that these exist?
I actually found out randomly a couple years ago. Year I worked for Good Life, 2019, I went to a guy's estate sale, and he was huge... car guy, so he was moving to Buffalo, New York, and wanted to go up to, you know, that area,
right?
And was tired of Illinois, and he had a bunch of these for sale. And I, by the time I got to his house, the one I was interested in, they make another one for a different company, and it was the Whittington Brothers, race car, and
which
I missed
car?
Out on it. The Porsche 935.5, back when those were introduced,
right?
I believe it was the 1980s car, 1979, and well. Unfortunately, I missed out on it like by 2 minutes, and I was like super angry. And I said, you know, I drove to this guy's house. I'm buying something, and I bought another version or another a different one than the one we're looking at now. And it was in rough shape, but it still had the whiskey in it. And I decided, well, one night I'm, you know, having a bad day, and
crack it open.
I just cracked it open.
So it was from like 79 or something. Let's see.
Yeah, like 1977, 1976.
What did it taste like?
It tastes like the 70s. It's very.
It doesn't even have a date
bourbon-y.
On here, actually.
I can't. I'm not really a whiskey drinker, so I can't describe on an enthusiast level.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. I mean, I liked it, and I was able to have just a small little glass with a couple rocks in it, and you're set.
It's just such a bizarre thing to put booze
in. It looks like a transformer for alcoholics.
Yeah,
it's really the best way to describe it.
You open it up, and it cracks in half, like at the engine. It's pretty cool.
We'll have to take pictures and post it on your Instagram for people.
I'll throw a bunch of them up to Abe, and he can. It's just so weird. Like it's so weird. It's the cool. Like there's stuff like this about the car hobby, that like this is kind of like the cool, unique stuff about this stupid hobby. Like
so,
I it's just so bizarre that this exists.
To think about this, and I thought about it. Like this is the bizarre area that I love. I love exploring.
Right.
They will never make something like this.
No.
I think again.
No.
For the reason of licensing issues.
Right.
It would cost a lot of money. I don't think a lot of people would want to buy
it. Yeah, this is like, it's literally a time capsule of, like, that era, too.
Back in the that day, when you were 18 years old, you were able to buy stuff like this.
That's so
alcohol.
Cool.
I mean, you know, to be more specific. But this is more to appeal, I think, to a younger audience. I don't think a guy who's in his 40s in the 1970s was buying this. He probably didn't care.
No,
you know?
It's probably a bunch of people that bought them as collector items, but, like... Eventually, you crack it open.
Well, that was a funny story about this. I'm, like, not far from your house.
Yeah.
And I'm at this guy's house, and he's moving to over the border to Indiana.
Okay.
So, and I'm like, okay, cool. How much do you want for it? I paid $50 for this.
Yeah.
So, this is 70s
so
whiskey
like
that's
slightly
never
less
been
than, like, it would just cost to buy whiskey.
Yeah, but it's nice, and it's vintage, and it looks cooler.
Yeah.
You know? And if anybody gives you shit and tries to dump your alcohol, it's hidden. They're not going to know.
It's so bizarre. But,
well, anyway, I bought this from the guy, and it was for spring kickoff, specifically.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what?
Yeah, you had two of them at spring kickoff.
No, I had this one.
I saw both. You had two of them there, though, because you have another one of these.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. So it was the old one. So for spring kickoff, we drank the old one. We drank the rest of the old one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to specifically save this one for you, me, Abe, anyone that wanted to drink it out of it. Because, you know, for us staff, we work our butts off. And that was just, I think I cursed ourselves before the weekend, even just
saying
this.
That was a long weekend.
It was a brutal weekend. And if
you
were there,
we meant to
do
things on Saturday night, and I just didn't feel like talking, man. Didn't feel like talking.
It was brutal.
It was a good weekend, but it was hard. It was a busy one. But got Vern Griffin Jr. giving us a Ford commercial in the background.
I mean, at this point, I decided after Autobahn, I wanted to bring it back for Honda Meet, because everyone told me this is supposed to be kind of more.
So you've never been to Honda Meet before?
No.
Okay.
It's way more relaxed.
Super
it's
chill. Like you were at Taco Track Day.
Taco Track Day.
So this is sort of like two and a half Taco Track Days in a row.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like, I thought the better example was Blackhawks Track Day Picnic.
Yeah, without the competition elements. Like, that's got a little bit of competition. Not a lot.
Yeah.
That's I love doing straight-up HPDEs, too, because, like, the vibe comes down a bunch. The seriousness comes down a bunch. Because you don't have any competition elements. You don't have any drift. You don't have, you know, time attack, GLTC, whatever. Like, none of it matters except for, like, you want all those cars to come back in? They're all smiling? Great. Done. Accomplished. And largely we did that today, so.
Everyone came here from a long work week.
Yeah.
And after Autobahn, they're like, I'm going to just come to the track day right. and have fun and yeah. hang out with my friends.
The vibe is so good because of that, too.
And it wasn't even just that. I was also finding people in the paddock that were here just to hang out.
Yeah.
They've come, Patrick Reyes, was, he came to Honda Meet 4 when he fronted out your first track.
Right. Yeah, he was at the first one, yeah.
He just came and hung out for the weekend. I thought that was pretty cool.
There's a dude that, he was in tech this morning. And I was like, damn, this thing is so clean. Where'd it come from? He's like, yeah, California. I was like, when did you get it? And he's like, I drove here from California.
What?
Yeah.
Someone drove here from Cali?
It was a white EK with an H22 in it. I was like, yeah, I just bought it. I got it in California, drove it all the way here. And I'm thinking like, oh, you must live in Grand Rapids, right?
Yeah.
Nope. Came here for the event. From L.A.
Dude,
like,
that's
nuts.
I thought Aaron from my shot that was, he does all the Formula D photography and stuff.
Yeah.
I thought he was nuts driving his Datsun 510 from California to Midwest Festival last year.
Yeah, that was actually pretty crazy.
That was pretty cool.
Aaron Eusebi.
He rebuilt the motor and then literally set off and then had to do the oil change for the rebuild in like an abandoned hotel parking lot.
Yep. he drove it to Colorado also with his son. Like his son's like 12.
Yeah,
And they went up Pikes Peak with it too.
That's so cool.
It, like at the top, it had like 12 horsepower. Like it didn't even want to go.
No bueno.
Pretty wild. So.
Actually, I was curious to ask about since we're talking about builds that are rad and go far.
Yeah.
And people just randomly showing up to the event finally.
Right.
Or hearing about the event and coming out to it. That one dude with that orange Civic that you grew up with.
Yeah.
I thought was pretty. Can you tell the story
so
a little
this,
more in depth?
My buddy here, Dave, his brother, who was supposed to be driving this weekend but got sick, his brother, when I was 18 maybe, bought an EF Civic like mine. And I was like, damn, that thing is cool. I'd always loved that chassis because there was a guy in town by me that had a red one. It was lowered when I was like 12. So like 5-6 years later, Joey builds one. And it had like this perfect 2001 spec period correct Fast and Furious livery. You know, it was like orange on top, white on the bottom, like graphics up the middle, separate in the two colors. And then he sold it and it disappeared, right? And we saw it a couple times and I'm like, still got the paint job. It's Joey's car. And that was like a decade ago last time I saw it. And last night at like, what, 10:30 or something, he pulls up. I call Dave. Dave's like, the car's right between me and Dave. I'm over with Pickcart. We're, you know, up here by turn two. I'm like, Dave, Joey's car just pulled up. And like, we geeked out over the thing. It turns out the dude is the dude who bought it from Joey 21 years ago or something. And that's the car that got me into Honda. So like, Honda Meet wouldn't happen without that. And like, real life probably wouldn't happen without that. It's just all these little dumb pieces that fall into your life that make you go the way you go, you know? But it was super cool that he like kept it in this not that attractive period correct livery, like. But he put a period correct drivetrain in. He put a B16 in it. It was a D15 with an auto when Joey sold it. Put a B16 in it with a Jackson blower, so it's like 2001 spec. Like it's that was the hot shit back then. So just really cool to see that car show up to Honda Meet too. So a lot of little fun things about this event so far.
But. The last event we did though at Autobahn, we did a podcast.
Oh, there goes the screen.
Oh! Two for two of the same podcast episode, ladies and gentlemen.
Man, you gotta back that thing up an inch before it karate chops the projector, dude. You can do that. Wedge it with the tent. Just trying to figure out how to do
this interruption, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, the 1 mile an hour wind has brought this interruption. Yeah, just cool to see cars like that, like the stuff that like made us do the things we're doing, and it just shows up. It's so cool.
So the podcast episode that I have that I did with you, we talked about. Do you think these cars are gonna come back or have like a niche collector's market?
Yeah, I think
they
do.
Just this event, bam, just proved it.
Shows up. He's like, I'm never gonna sell it. I'll never get rid of it. I'll never change it.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's exactly what he wants.
I'm telling you, dude. It's going to be like the Boogie Night Vans right now.
I love it, man.
But with Hondas.
I think it's
Boogie
so cool.
Hondas.
It's so cool. And that was kind of the vibe that I went with my car. I wanted it to be something that, like, could have been built, like, looks-wise, could have been built in, like, 95. Obviously, it's got some more modern stuff on it, but, like, it looks largely like it could have been built in 95, sort of, you know, with the graphics and with the wheels and super low. And I love that stuff. And it's just so cool to see that thing here. So
yeah, dude, definitely.
So bizarre.
There's an un, unprecedented amount of people that were all over that car.
Yeah.
And I was actually, and like, I thought it was so cool.
5 years ago, everybody would have been like, man, that car was riced out and stupid. And now everybody's like, oh my gosh, it's been like this for 20 years? Like, I love how like that tide changed. Like, it wasn't like that before.
I remember when Radwood was starting to become a thing. I remember, a couple years ago, why do you care about this old station wagon with wood grain that's fake?
Yeah, this Chevy Corsica, you know, like all these dumb cars. So.
Well, my local cruise night, we do...
In Tinley?
Yeah, in Tinley does a cruise night every Tuesday. Me and my friend Andrew decided to go to it this last Tuesday. We're like, let's go have some fun. You know, Audubon was wet. Let's go have some fun.
Right. And it was really wet.
I'm not even kidding. Like, we roll up. There's all these just old 90s cars.
Really?
This car show. And it was an old 90s... The one that I'm going to talk... that. Caught my attention.
Right.
There's an old Chevrolet Cavalier with the telephone.
Really?
Convertible.
Yeah,
and
man.
This guy was like old, but he was like, I bought it as a collector's item. I knew this is going to be worth something back in the day. I'm like, looked at him like, okay, buddy. You know, like, you know, so, I mean, I hate to say it, but those guys that have showed up to cruise nights in the last 10 years, that kind of stuff, they might actually have.
Some of them might be right.
They might be right. I don't know.
Five, six years ago, I wouldn't have said
so. I don't
know
about a Cavalier convertible.
I mean, but they all got thrown away.
I was kind of more curious. We're talking about Elantes. Did you ever look at the Cadillac
Elante? Old Elante, yeah. Cadillac Elante. It's a cool-looking shell, actually. It's a good body.
They would make the bodies in Italy by Pininfarina, and they would have the body shipped over in, I think, 707s.
They made them in Italy or designed them there?
It was designed by Pininfarina. The body was designed in Italy, and it was shipped over, like, 50 at a time by airplane.
No way.
I'm not even kidding. This is a huge thing for Cadillac.
Yeah.
And they would build this car in America.
Right.
And it just didn't really compete with the Mercedes SL.
This just wasn't
car.
Nice enough.
Yeah,
right?
It wasn't an SL. No. And they still were shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I
you see them still, though.
Yeah.
People kept them perfect.
They're starting to come back, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a red one the other day, and I started freaking out. If you ever seen Lethal Weapon, Joe Pesci had a red one. And I was like, oh, my God, it's Joe Pesci.
That's such a
this
bizarre car,
this guy looked
car,
at me
though.
Getting in, and he's like, what?
Such a bizarre car to see on the road nowadays. But like, that audience like for that car was, like, 40-year-old, 50-year-old people, and now they're 60, 70, 80, and they, like, kept them perfect. So you're like, I already have it. I'll just keep it perfect, you know? Like, that's why some of them are still so nice.
But. Well... So, I was talking to Andrew about the hearse thing. So, at Autobahn, we had the hearse at the end of pit lane, if you saw it.
Yeah.
And we're asking you to
hearse, like for carrying a coffin. Yeah.
It is a 1995 Cadillac Fleetwood Federal coach-built hearse.
Like a Caprice front end, basically, and
No, it's a Cadillac Fleetwood front end, and basically
but
where
yeah,
you put
like
the coffin
like Chevy
LT1
and all that stuff, yeah.
Well, I asked him, you know, like, man, like, I've kind of been busy walking around and stuff, like, you know, how's the reaction having the hearse in a pit lane? He goes, everyone loves this thing.
Yeah.
That's so, $3,500 shit box.
So bizarre.
It's probably the greatest car I've ever heard someone own because...
so much attention.
He works out by Stony Island on the south side of Chicago for the CTA. And if you don't know that area, it's very dangerous.
Can be, yeah.
It can be very dangerous. Right. At least Gary, he was telling me, was a little sketchy. And he
Gary's sketchy, but it's empty now. Gary, Indiana, you mean?
No, not Gary. Oh. I'm Stony Island, like on the south side.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was telling me about this. He goes, man, I got... in a situation I ran out of gas one day because the gas gauge broke.
Right.
He goes, not even a cop would pull over to help me out just help me get gas. But he goes, I kind of had comfort in that because no one messes with me when you drive a hearse in the wood.
That's a crazy white boy right there.
He is a crazy white boy, dude.
Yeah, bizarre, dude. What are these people doing on the racetrack? They're like driving around taking photos, and I want them to stop. Anyway, well, we did a podcast, I think. We're 20 minutes into this thing.
I think you should go stop those people and prevent liabilities.
We're going to do another short one, and then I'm going to hang out and watch Formula Drift. So.
Yay!
Yeah, buddy. The Olsenite Eagle.
Yeah, you guys should totally Google this to get a chance.
Yeah,
so,
man.
Olsenite Eagle, Jim Beam decanters.
Olsenite Eagle.
They make different ones. If you are looking for a gift for your loved one.
You bought the Porsche 935 one, too.
Yeah, so that one's actually, those are going to be really hard to find. They have two, it's Dick Barber's Racing is the one I have.
Yeah, the one that, like, P2 at Le Mans one time or whatever.
Yeah, and then the other variation in that one is the Whittington Brothers. Finding those online, they're going to be worth more, but they're a company, Davis County.
Okay.
Toys for Big Boys is what it was called.
But it was plastic, though.
Yeah.
So the whiskey's probably not that good.
You're buying it really just to give it as a cool gift. Right. You're not drinking it. So the cool thing about the Jim Beam, because it's aged in porcelain, you actually can drink it and actually tastes somewhat normal.
Yeah.
Depending on
you love all the 1970s, 1980s plastics juices in there.
Hey, we're going to die like men, okay?
Yeah, man. Seatbelts, no seatbelts, whatever it takes. Plastics, in my booze, whatever. So.
We're going to drink like our old fathers and probably die of plastic poisoning of some sort. Yeah. Well,
where do people find your podcast, dude?
Oh, hey.
I found it on Spotify.
It is on Spotify. Yeah. Anchor, Spotify. You can go on YouTube.
Yeah, you're using Anchor, too? Anchor's great.
I prefer Anchor and Spotify if you guys can.
Are you hosting through Anchor?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. It's pretty great. Pretty easy to deal. Pretty easy
we are also on Apple Podcasts, from what I've heard. Yeah. Thank you, Anchor.
Usually, Anchor puts it on Stitcher and most of regular aggregators that pull it off of iTunes, or Apple or whatever.
Yeah.
But cool, man. Drivers at Large.
Drivers at Large at Spotify. Or you can follow me on Instagram personally at Hot Rodyssey.
Hot Rodyssey, because you drive an Odyssey.
Yeah, I totally stole that from the guys in Alabama.
You did steal it from I bet you Carl Hord was a little mad about that. But.
I will give it back to them and just take Thick Fit.
I don't want to ask that. It does look like a fit, though.
It does look like a fit. Cool, hey, man. Sunday Cup competitor, right?
It's probably not that far off. They are actually kind of fast in a straight line, though. Look, they're not slow. But I mean, your car. Odyssey's a little speedy.
Don't ruin the secret.
Grassroots Motorsports a bunch of years ago did an autocross test of like that versus like some car from the 90s that was like the hot shit autocrosser, and like the stone stock with decent tires Odyssey just mopped the floor with it.
In a drag race, an Odyssey will beat it.
They are pretty fast.
Ask Kyle.
They're literally like high 13, low 14 second cars. Like they're the trucks, fans, whatever you call them. But anyway, well, check them out, Drivers at Large, and also at most of our events, Working Grid, hanging out, making small talk, and chilling. So appreciate you, man. We'll do it again, and I got to figure out how to stop this thing. Let's check those levels, baby. What do you got?
Oop. Yeah. Levels.
Get it about 2 inches from your mouth hole.
I'm going to swallow this thing.
Don't swallow it. Just kiss it. You're at Honda Meet again, third show of the night. Got Ben Mitchell, buddy from Bad Company Motorsports, a GLTC team. You guys took my car to COTA.
Yes,
that was fun. Except for both of our cars sucked at COTA.
Our car seems to suck quite a few places. So
you're in the same boat with me, baby. It's a great place to be, right?
Yeah.
The RSX that you guys play with started out as a Lemons car.
Yeah.
You bought it as a rolled over automatic base model. That's how you start a race car build.
It was automatic for two races and then decided to swap it.
So you ran factory drivetrain and stuff with it?
Yeah, just a K28-3.
Yeah.
Just.
You probably still have the engine kicking around, don't you?
It's sitting on the stand,
You can't kill them things, man.
It was used many races.
They make like a nice, 150 wheel horsepower?
It was a feat to get like 155 at
Gingerman. Might be a good choice for me and my build.
Actually, yeah.
It'd probably be about perfect, actually.
You could make that thing probably pretty stout with some work.
And they hold up. Like, they don't have enough power to hurt themselves either. And you rev it to 7 because it doesn't make power pass there. Blah, blah, blah. So,
yeah, we'd run it to the rev limiter on the automatic and then just tap shift.
Yeah.
And
did they, like, the fat, they had, like, flappy paddles?
No, just, like, the tap shift shifter. On
I
was going to actually add flappy paddles, and then we decided to actually be real race team and build a proper drivetrain.
Stick shift.
Yeah.
So that thing went from Lemons. Do you do chump car stuff with it? Champ car stuff with it?
We've always wanted, or you know, we never actually did. We built it kind of with that plan in mind, but never actually have run it in champ car.
And you've got like enough parts because you have another one also.
Yeah, I have three.
You can you bought Mikey's too.
Yeah,
you can swap drivetrains pretty quick in them. You know, you could convert it from GLTC spec, which it is now ish, it's abandoned for the past 2 weeks. But
Four weeks. It's been. It's been in timeout.
You can convert it back. You converted it back to Lemons last year.
Yeah,
Jackie Ding's team crashed into you.
Yep. it's had real good luck.
Yeah, it's been a rough
year. Yeah, we converted it back to a Lemons drivetrain from our other car.
Right.
Just for that weekend. Yeah, right. And then he tried to roll a car over top of it. So
yeah, that didn't work at all.
No.
It wasn't Jackie himself, though.
No.
It was somebody else.
I'm not sure. I don't remember who it was.
But then you did wide body. It looks rad. What it like? There are a lot of people for the last 15 years that you keep reading since that car came out. Like, oh, it doesn't handle for shit. You know, okay, it doesn't handle. It doesn't work. But you guys, like, you've been top five times raw time in GLTC before. Like, that's fast.
Yeah.
What was the progression on that thing as far as handling and stuff goes? What did you guys all do? What was your process there?
Well, a lot of throwing stuff at the wall and see what sticks. Yeah. So for the first few races, it was pretty much stock with, like, just some lowering springs
right.
and some Coney sports.
So, like,
and then,
mediocre at best.
Yeah. Right. And then a Progress rear sway bar would right. be. So then I'm trying to think here now. It's been through so many iterations.
And you probably have changed it this year multiple times.
Yeah. So then we switched to some stance coilovers.
Right.
Just off the shelf stuff. Still have that same Progress sway bar in their back because we don't really feel the need to right. do anything with that. I'm trying to think here. You know, just your typical upper arms to, you know, more camber.
And didn't you buy a set of Motons, too, once?
I have a set of Motons for it that I haven't actually put on the car.
Okay. And you're sponsored at the moment by, what, Yellow Speed?
Yeah, Yellow Speed.
Where are they out of?
Well, Yellow Speed USA is out of Texas, okay. but Yellow Speed proper is Taiwan.
Oh, okay.
So
I thought it was like, aren't there a bunch of teams in Europe that run that thing?
Yeah, so.
Like EP3s and stuff?
Yellow Speed is like big in the... What is that? The Civic Cup in the UK. Like, okay. pretty much everyone uses Yellow Speed.
Okay. I've seen a bunch of hill climb cars with them on. And
yeah, they do a lot of drift, a lot of hill climb stuff. Not a whole lot of anything circuit-wise in the U.S. But so they're on the side of the car, but obviously they're wondering where the car is because it keeps braking. So yeah. that's always great. But yeah, so this year, or last year.
Hey, my brother's trying to say something. What's up?
Oh, hey.
Probably in that multicolored bin right there, yeah. Can I confuse? Yeah, you can grab it out of there. I put too much oil in my car. I've actually not added any to it. Probably on the left-hand side of it if it opens from where you are. Yeah, that purple and teal one. Should be some in there. Sorry, my brother needed oil. Oh, yeah. Driving home with his wild Turbo Maxima.
Nice.
With his young family. It's kind
Turbo
of sketchy.
Maxima.
Dude, yeah, it's gnarly. It's a 91 Nissan Maxima.
It's like the roundy square, yeah.
Insane turbo setup. Yeah, I think there's a cord in there. Should be.
I imagine the torque steer on that's pretty harsh.
Dude, actually, like, the car is a highway monster. It's huge turbo, so it's laggy and super fun, like old school build. He built it like 18 years ago.
Nice.
That's the only car that's been to every single Honda meet. His Maxima.
Nissan has been to every Honda.
No, just take it. It's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, so this is going to be all cut up right now.
Pump the Valvoline VR1 into it. Who cares? She's good.
It's only Valvoline. Yeah. I mean, never mind.
They sponsor Honda Meet and Grid Life and all the things. So, Valvoline's cool. Is your car burning oil?
Hmm.
All right, well, there's some oil. He hasn't checked it in a while. Anyway, we were talking about suspensions.
Oh, yeah. Let's see, yeah, so we're running pretty much the stock stuff. Your typical spherical joints and everything.
Make it move nice and try to get right. the tires on the ground all the time.
And then I switched from like stock Type S lower control arms to Type R right. aluminum arms with bad results.
Oh, this is the other thing I want to talk about, because you keep swapping things. You have weird parts on there now.
Yeah, so went to the Type R arms. And really didn't think about some of the added
like
issues.
Caster or what? Like, what changes?
Well, the Type R knuckles are a little bit different as far as the depth from the actual pickup point
oh, okay.
to right. the hub face.
Right. Actual dimensions of the knuckle.
So I was running Type R axles without really double checking that.
So somewhere in the swing, they're compressing.
Oh, yeah.
It, or whatever.
Immediately would blow up axles.
Just eating them like crazy.
Yeah, like right. they'd make it two laps. Son of a
oh,
bitch.
Oh, jeez.
Like, what the hell's going on? So then we switched back to Type S axles, and that would live, but they were a little bit too short. So
okay.
anyway, got rid of those arms because we had some ball joint issues with those arms.
Right.
The
balls on a star theme too.
Yeah. So all sorts of themes here. The cars
are hard, man.
To do a Type R arm with the Type S knuckles, you have to press in a different insert for the taper.
Right.
And that insert pulled right out.
Okay.
And then just, you know, we skidded off of turn, or coming into turn 11.
Yeah.
Just skidded off onto the pit road at Gingerman because it came apart at 100 and whatever miles an hour.
Right, 115.
Yeah. So I think that was ball joint issue number one.
Right.
And then
we've seen a few.
Yeah, so got rid of those, but then we went to the Honda Element lower control arms.
That's the weird thing.
Yeah. So Honda Element lower control arms, CRV axles, and some custom inner tie rods, and it makes it about 6 inches wider than stock.
It's wild.
So it makes it rotate really nicely.
Right, right.
So pretty much that's what we're running now.
Okay.
But you've
had a few more ball joint failures.
Yeah. So we're running some...
Like the extendos.
I've had a failure with Hard Race.
Yeah.
I've had a failure with Buddy Club and multiple failures with K-Tune. So we're actually running a production run for Howe chassis right now for some spherical type lower ball joints.
Like rebuildable ones.
Yes.
Did you say they're making them for older Integras too?
Yes. Nice. DC2 Integras. That's they're also running a line of those. So
yeah. I kind of want to try that. Badass. Yeah.
As far as...
And this is like heavy duty circle track crap.
Yeah.
So. Very cool.
So hopefully those will get in my hands shortly and we can actually...
Right.
Get them in
there.
You have an
affiliation with Lane Automotive, and they kind of know everybody in that world.
So yeah, so I
get
just
that done, huh?
Yeah, I just got all my guys at Lane, and like, yeah. Can you guys have an in at Howe? Oh yeah, sure.
It's
so then, like,
rad.
Within
it's
that next day, they're like, "All right, we got this going."
Like
so
they're starting to draw them up. And yeah, yeah, that's awesome, man.
So
there's a pit bike on my racetrack. I'm a little nervous about that.
Hey, he's got a light on though, so
yeah, he needs to get the heck off the racetrack. So that's a cool product that's coming out of all your issues.
To me, it's like you're
jumping over all these hurdles and like you're figuring things out. You like figure out, you like it, it turns in better with the super wide stance and it actually works.
Well, the funny thing about that all is the only reason we started with that wide stuff is because we built the other RSX for rally.
Right.
And that was my extra travel setup.
Yeah.
And then we used it on the track here, and I was like, dang, this thing turns really nice.
That's pretty rad.
And so then we put them on both cars. Yeah. And now other people I've talked to some people, like, hey, try this. And there's a few other people that have actually used it in varying
degrees.
Well, actually really good success. Yeah. In autocross and some time attack in Bulgaria. This guy got a hold of me, and he's like, dude, what is that? And all right.
Why is your car so wide?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of love how the car looks. Like, it's got a real tough kind of, like, bulldog stance up front. Well, it's pretty rad.
It's definitely tough looking now with all char and fire. We'll get to that.
So, ball joint failure hopefully addressed. Hopefully your suspension, axles, everything holds together.
Yeah.
And then...
there's no reason it shouldn't
now.
Right. Dang it.
Figured the issues out, hopefully.
Yeah.
Once you get all your valving and everything where you want it, hopefully she turns real good, which she already turned pretty good.
So, yeah, for last race there, I put the actual yellow speed stuff on without really any testing.
Yeah,
and
like
we actually
straight
took
up, throw it on.
Yeah, we took it right back off and put the old stuff back on. And that's
valving and stuff. Huh?
And that's how he was able to actually qualify decent because we put the other stuff back on. So
spring kickoff, we should tell people it's just a stock TSX motor, right?
Yeah.
With crazy trans.
Yeah.
And like real tight ratios and stuff. And
yeah, it's all Gear X ratios.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of aftermarket stuff.
It's all aftermarket.
Okay.
Which
straight cut?
Hmm?
Straight cut gears?
No.
Okay.
No straight cut, no dog stuff. Yeah. It's just
all aftermarket ratios.
Yeah.
TRE built it.
Yep.
The trans. They do a good job on trans, don't they?
They do a really nice job. Yeah.
Guess stop teaching your other drivers how to blow them up or blow up K series trannies, but
yeah,
they build a nice tranny.
Apparently, this one has an issue now too, a little bit, but we'll see how it goes.
Somebody's pushing too hard on that lever, dude.
meat hands.
Yeah, this big GI Joe fists. So we're doing spring kickoff. It was Saturday night. The power goes out. We're running off of generators. The live stream's not live. It's recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like lap one. And now, ever since then, I've been telling people.
I think it was lap two. Because he had made up.
We'd done like three or four laps, basically.
Yeah, and by the time he started way in the back, and by the time it blew up, he had made up like 10 spots.
Yeah, he was getting up front.
Yeah.
It was a big field, 50-some cars. Grid looked so insane. Like, it was so full, dude. You weren't here that night.
No.
Dude, it was so full. It was intimidating.
I wish I was here.
And then...
I really wish I was here because of the issue. But.
Yeah. We've seen it on S2000s a bunch of times. They're buzzy motors. They're big four cylinders, you know, 2.2s or whatever. People put the 2.4 K-Series in. And ever since, they're your problem. At Autobahn, I walked around, and I would grab oil filters. And I kid you not, like, out of Scott and Becky's car, the K24.
Oh, yeah.
And they, like, got it, like, you know, they check everything. I got almost three-quarters of a turn out of it.
Yes.
These buzzy big motors, the oil filter starts to get, the backs off.
We had never had an issue.
Right.
Ever.
And then that's what happened.
And we were running S2000 filters on that K24 and never had an issue.
And here we are.
Yeah, and then we're going to try a different filter. So we were running a big block Chevy style, big cased filter.
Right.
And it backed off.
Right. Same stuff that a bunch of other people had ran.
Right. And apparently I'm the only one with an issue.
The big buzzy motor, man. But it made it through like a bunch of sessions. Not like it was loose. It wasn't loose. It came loose.
Right.
And so I
tightened it to proper, you know, specification.
I made it part of my driver's meetings, the last couple of events. We've talked about it in the driver's meetings.
Yeah.
Tighten those filters.
Yeah, that's going to be...
it's cold, get in there, tighten it.
It's going to be part of the protocol now.
Also, I've been telling people, Emil Tab does something cool. He safety wires off of a bolt above.
Yeah.
Wraps it around the oil filter and then puts a hose clamp around that to where the oil filter can't turn back.
Yeah, I think we might do that too, just as
added. I'm
going
to try to whip something up for that in my own car.
So. Yeah.
Big fireball.
Yeah, I think, you know.
Other Ben was driving, Ben Dozeman.
Yep.
He was okay, but his suit did some work.
Yeah, it actually did the job.
Like, it was worked.
So it had a hot enough fire to where it melted off the aluminum suppression lines under the hood.
Insane, dude.
And it melted.
And it wasn't on fire forever.
No.
Real quick.
Yeah, it was a big flash.
Like, crazy how big it was.
And then it fused the inside of the shift cables to the outside so you couldn't shift it, and then it melted that boot that the shift cables shot through in the tunnel, and then therefore the fire got inside the car and burned the outer fabric of his leg a little bit. But
dude, so hot.
But
so
fire
fast.
Suppression was also right there, so boom.
It sounds like he got to the fire suppression fast, too.
A little too fast, actually. Yeah. He was still going like 50 miles an hour. He pulled fire suppression and then couldn't breathe.
Too much air movement then, huh?
Yeah, well, he's like, I should have gotten stopped first because I couldn't breathe to get out of the car.
Yeah,
so
a better job getting the fire out, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it just kind of fed it a little bit. So.
Yeah, wild lessons to learn from something like that, dude.
Yeah.
Car salvageable, still runs, right?
Yeah.
Fixed a couple wires and it runs.
I didn't even touch the wires. Before that race, I put DEI... those gold
DEI
sleeves, those gold sleeves on the wire harness and on the fuel line, actually. And the DEI sleeve did the job. It died, but it saved the harness, actually.
That's
I didn't even
awesome.
Touch the harness, and it started up.
That's
put
impressive.
Some oil in it and started. So
that's impressive.
It's a little clattery. It might have got hurt, but we'll see how it...
Maybe pull the engine apart, look at the bearings. And
yeah. I don't really feel like pulling the engine again. But,
might be next year.
But
it's
going to be probably touched. Yeah.
Give it a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I wanted to do a show with you because there's a lot of lessons to learn from that. Like, obviously, it's an interesting development story, like building a chassis that literally until recently was sort of neglected, you know? Like, people don't build that.
Right. It's kind of everyone... it's the worst strut... chassis that Honda made, yada yada yada.
But
so.
It's a great looking car. It looks super sporty. They're like rad cars. You drop a good motor right into it. They came with a good motor.
Right.
You learned a lot. Like, I learned stuff from your fireball. And I think there's a lot of people that, you know, they should check things. And
I didn't really think about how many cars in the paddock don't have fire suppression.
Lots.
And that's kind of a surprise and a little bit worrisome.
Yeah, lots. So.
So.
Your buddies over at Lane Automotive, they've got lots of great prices on kits.
Yeah, they do.
Hook them up.
I'm getting one.
Yeah. Scott Robertson's getting one.
So, yeah.
Scott, did Becky tell you that I got 3/4 of a turn out of your oil filter at Audubon?
No. Yes.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. Check those oil filters.
Sketched me out.
That was immediately the first thing I said in the old group chat was check your oil filters.
Check them all the time. So I made it part of the driver's meetings.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm not glad to learn those lessons like that way, but we've had other S3000s. We had one S3000 almost burned down in 7 a couple years ago.
I'm not happy that I'm the one to find out these things either, but
somebody's got to be the bearer of the bad news that we all learn from. But
yeah.
I'm glad that the car is salvageable, and hopefully,
when
you get over the funk of, man, I got to work on this damn car again.
Well, it's more just it's life. Life happens.
It's also like not fun stuff to have to like clean the car and fix it and take it apart again. And,
yeah.
I get it, but I sympathize. But I'm glad the car's okay. Ben's okay. It's all salvageable.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No. Not even like the fire shot up by the wheels, and not even the brake hoses got melted. So we'll swap
all that stuff out. Picture but. That Wilkinson took. Rob Wilkinson. It was like the highest liked picture that GridLife's ever posted. But I think it woke a lot of people up talking about it too. A lot of people messaging me in the last month about fire suppression. What should I get?
So
hopefully it keeps some
definitely
other
an eye opener
in one piece.
Yeah, for sure.
And just a lot of little checks. Like maybe we all need to check our oil filters all the time. You don't think about it until you see a couple cars.
Honestly, never thought about it.
I thought about it on S2000s, but I never made it a part of the meeting. I don't know why I didn't.
I mean, we'd run the small filter for the K-Series or then the S2000 style filter, and you'd have to reef on it to loosen them when you change the oil.
Right.
So I never had an issue.
Yeah, it's bizarre how it just sometimes happens.
So. Yeah.
Anyway, we did a quick show.
Hey, quick show. Dude. Cheers.
I'm sick of talking.
Thanks for being a guy.
Yeah, you just came down to grab a trailer for a friend of ours here, so... Just being a good dude, man.
Yeah, I had to sell my Honda Meet ticket.
Yeah.
And then I came down here anyway, so.
Well, I'm glad you stopped by. good to see you, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk soon. And I hope to see you in Grid one of these days.
Yeah.
Fix that bad girl up, dude.
Yeah.
So people want to see more about the car. You have an Instagram for the car, don't you?
Yeah, Badco Motorsport.
Badco?
And Badco Motorsport, yeah. And, Instagram.
Also, you're a Patreon subscriber. I appreciate your support, bud.
I am.
Mother brother was pretty funny, wasn't it?
I laughed out loud. I was so sitting in bed listening to that, and my wife's like, "What the hell are you laughing at?"
That was boy something. Has wild stories, man.
Yeah, for sure. I actually went on Google and looked at his house too during that. I'm like, "What the hell is he talking about?" So
you can drive a car on his roof.
Yeah, it's like a weird berm house.
It's a really weird. Everything about Dalton Klein is very interesting. So. All right, man. We'll talk to you guys soon.
All right.
Appreciate the support of everybody in the slip angle world. We got FCP, Euro, all the parts that they sell are guaranteed for life. Apex Pro, apextrackcoach.com. Great, accessible, and usable data systems.
Gen 2
just out. Abe is a big fan of the software. He's a nerd. He likes how it works. It's easy to use. And the Patreon listeners, we really appreciate all y'all. So. More Patreon stuff coming soon. Should be a good year for silliness. We're looking for silly, weird stories too. If you've got silly, weird stories, and you are a car related person, we don't want to just get into the Maury Povich, show, but, or whatever his name was.
Well, we got some stories, but
yeah. If you got cool stories, we'd love to talk to you. Tracktune.com. We appreciate everybody.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabay, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes and come and find us in the pits at GridLife to say hello.